Hi, everyone. We want to welcome you today to Revival Radio with Pastor John Miller of Revival Christian Fellowship in Menifee, California. Today, we're going to be studying the Gospel of Matthew chapter 13 with the message titled, Mysteries of the Kingdom. Another parable Jesus taught says, God's kingdom is like yeast that a woman works into the dough for dozens of loaves of barley bread and waits until the dough rises. Let's listen now as Pastor John Miller explains this passage.
So it's the false ecumenical church, this church that gets together and brings in all the different philosophies and doctrines and belief systems and says there's no real wrong and there's no real right and the Bible isn't inerrant or inspired or infallible and it's not our rule for faith and practice and you can believe whatever you want to believe. And under the one umbrella of ecumenicalism, we have New Age thoughts and philosophies and cults and false doctrines and false teachings. It's a very dangerous, dangerous thing. In the professing church, there are many dirty birds, many dangers. The Mormon church claims to be a Christian church. They are birds in the branches. The Jehovah's Witnesses claim to be the true church today. They are birds in the branches. There are many branches of Roman Catholicism where there is just gross idolatry, Mariology and worshiping statues and paintings and photos and pictures and aberrations. Praying to saints that isn't really something taught scripturally, and it's the intrusion of evil into the church. Their Seventh-day Adventism with their legalism and their teaching on the investigative judgment that everyone will stand before God one day and our good works must outweigh our bad works, which denies the blood-atoning work of Jesus Christ upon the cross. These are like birds that have come in to the branches, Satan's false church of the last days. Hold your place here in Matthew chapter 13, and let me point out to you this system as it's seen in Revelation chapter 17, just before Jesus Christ returns and judges this evil system. Here I believe it's called Mystery Babylon the Great, the Mother of Harlots, the Abominations of the Earth. Revelation 17, it says, there came, verse 1, one of the seven angels, which had seven vials, talked with me, saying, come up hither, and I will show thee, or show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sits upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed spiritual fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit on a scarlet-colored beast, full of the names of blaspheming, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet and colored and decked with gold and precious stones, pearls, having a gold cup in her hand. You go in some churches, you can see images like this. All the gold, the scarlet, the purple, the stones, the golden cups. The abominations of the filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead, verse 5, was written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, the abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints, this false system persecuting the true seed. War between Satan's seed and God's seed, starting with Cain slaying his brother Abel, coming all the way down to the time when they tried to kill Christ and eventually did crucify him. She was drunk with the blood of the saints, the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. The angel said unto me, Wherefore dost thou marvel? I will tell thee the mysteries of the woman and of the beast that carried her away. She has the seven heads and the ten horns. Now you can read on at your own leisure and study this chapter, but I believe that this, going back to Matthew 13, is that false system, that tree grown up from that mustard seed. And that's the infiltration of evil in that false system. Satan's false church. What a contrast with Revelation 19 with the true bride of Christ, having made herself ready by being washed in the blood, and she's arrayed in white garments, ready for the marriage supper of the Lamb. So not only are you a true believer, but being a true believer, that makes you a part of the true church. If you're not a wheat, then you're a tare. You're not a part of the true church. You may be a part of a professing church, but you don't possess true eternal life. Now, there's one more parable, and that's the parable of the leaven. It's in verse 33 down to verse 35. Another parable, spake he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal. Some commentators make a big deal out of the fact that it was a woman. I won't do that. I'll just mention that. She took and she hid it in three measures of meal until the whole was leavened. All these things spake Jesus unto the multitudes in parables, and without a parable he did not speak unto them, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying. Now, Matthew's writing to Jews, so he ties it in with the Old Testament, and he quotes from Psalm of Asaph 78, verse 2, I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundations of the world. Now, do you like a mystery? I do. Here's a mystery. We have the mystery of the kingdom of heaven. It's likened to a woman baking some dough. She takes a little piece of leaven. Now, leaven is a little piece of fermented dough. After they cook their bread, they break a piece off of bread. Or before they cook it, they take a piece of the dough, stash it in the cupboard and let it ferment. And then they would use that to cause the bread to rise. So that was their leaven. And so she sticks it in the meal, the whole thing's leavened and it all grows. Now, what's the significance here? What's the meaning here? The mustard seed illustrates the false outward expansion of the kingdom, while the leaven illustrates the inward development of false doctrine resulting in false living. I believe that this is one of Satan's greatest ploys in opposing God's work today in the world. And that is the introduction of false doctrine or false teaching. Now, leaven, again, does not symbolize the gospel or good influencing the whole world. We're going to Christianize the world. We're going to save the world until it's all saved. That's not what it's teaching. I believe that in the scriptures, leaven consistently is a symbol of that which is evil. It had to be removed from the Jewish homes during the Passover, Exodus chapter 12. It was excluded from the sacrifices, Exodus chapter 34. There was only one exception, that was the loaves used at the Feast of Pentecost. And those two loaves symbolized the Jews and the Gentiles in the church. And there is sin in the church today, obviously. And then Jesus used leaven as a picture of hypocrisy, Luke 12, false teaching, Matthew 16, and worldly compromise, Matthew chapter 22. And then Paul used leaven as a picture of carnality, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, as well as false doctrine. So I believe that you have some pretty good grounds to view the leaven as not a good thing, but an evil thing. And here this woman introduces false doctrine, permeates the whole loaf. Satan's most effective device is to introduce false teaching into the church. Remember his first lie in the Garden of Eden? Has God really said? So what's his lie grown into? Is the Bible really the Word of God? Did God really say that? Did Jesus really say that? Is this really the historical Jesus? Denying the Bible's inspiration, inerrancy. Denying that the Bible is the Word of God. Satan also denies the Trinity. That there's one God in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. That's orthodox teaching from the Scriptures. One God, triune in nature, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But he perverts the very nature of God by denying the Trinity. He denies Christ's virgin birth and humanity and divinity. Jesus wasn't really virgin born. That's just an allegorical story. There's lessons behind that we need to learn. Jesus really wasn't God in the flesh, and they deny his divine nature. They also deny his substitutionary work on the cross. When Jesus died on the cross, they just say that it was an example of God's love for us. It wasn't really a blood-atoning sacrifice, a substitutionary, propitiatory work for our sins. They deny those essential teachings of Scripture. They deny also the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. Listen, the Bible teaches not only was Jesus born of a virgin, God manifested in the flesh, who died on the cross for our sins as a substitute in our place, but that 3 days after he was buried, he physically, bodily rose again from the dead. And if you deny any of those things, you do not have Christianity. You may have churchianity, you may have a social club, but you don't have Christianity. To deny those essential doctrines taught in the Bible. Jesus rose from the dead. And also they deny that salvation is by grace through faith. You can work your way to heaven. You could be a good person to be saved. You can be a Buddhist and get to heaven. You can do other things and go to heaven. You can do this and do that and believe other faiths. You don't have to trust in Jesus. You can have your own God. Their beliefs are just as good as our beliefs. We shouldn't tell them they're right or wrong. Denying salvation by God's grace through faith. All of the cults teach salvation works, something you must do to be saved. And then many of them deny the existence of hell. The Jehovah's Witnesses deny the existence of hell. Seventh-day Adventists deny the existence of a literal hell. Remember, not only did the devil say, has God really said, but he said, you will not really die. You're not really going to die. And people say today, oh, there's no really hell out there. God isn't going to throw anyone in hell. He's a good God. From the very early days of the church, true believers have battled false doctrine and hypocrisy. It is sad, tragic, that many of our great denominations in the United States have abandoned sound doctrine. You have Presbyterians and Methodists trying to decide whether or not to ordain homosexual ministers, trying to decide whether the Bible is the inspired and errant, infallible Word of God, trying to decide whether Jesus really rose from the dead or not. These are denials of Christian doctrine, the essentials. And so you have so much leaven today in the professing church. A lot of church buildings, but they're not really the church. Now, I'm not against denominations at all. And I believe there are some truly born again in those denominations. But as their basic tenets hold, they are drifting away from the orthodox teaching of the Scripture. We must never, ever, ever forget that the Bible is our authority. It is not the church, it's not the Pope, it's not church dogma, it's not church tradition, it's not our intellect, it's not our experience, it's not the world's philosophies, it is the Word of God that is our authority for all that we believe and in everything that we do in our behavior. It's the Bible that we shall live by. When we neglect that or deny that, we are in big, big trouble. I've been reading about liberalism. Julius Wellhausen, the German theologian who in the 30s brought in higher criticism. And do you know that most of the social ills that we are suffering from today are the result of liberal theology? The perversion that ensued in Europe because they began to not believe any longer the Bible is the Word of God. They lost their moorings and their ability to have any more options. And Genesis 1 account is just a myth or a story. And then Charles Darwin came along with his theory of evolution. And just on and on it goes. It all just fits together. But it all starts When we do not believe the Bible to be the inerrant, infallible, inspired Word of God, and then we go to the Bible humbly submitting to its authority and interpret it literally, we're in big trouble, and apply it to our lives. This is what this kingdom parable is teaching us, and I think it's important that we give heed. Now, what I want to do in closing now is point out some lessons that we learn in summary and things that we should do. Lessons that we learn and things that we should do. The big lesson that we learn in these parables is basically that Satan opposes the work of God in three ways. And it's important for us to understand these. First of all, he tries to snatch the seed from hearts of people lest they believe and are converted. So we need to pray that God would open people's eyes to their need of Jesus Christ as we sow that seed. Secondly, he plants false Christians in the world to confuse people's minds between the true and the real. I'm always having people complain about this person or that or these groups or that group. And many times they're undiscerning. They don't realize this is not truly a Christian group. They profess that they know him, but in their works and their belief, they deny him. It's important that we give heed to what we believe, not only how we behave, because what we believe will determine how we behave. So he plants false Christians. Not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom. And then thirdly, he sits in the branches of Christendom and he seeks to influence what's going on. Sad day when the church married the state and offices of leadership were sold to the highest bidder. And when men in government began to dictate the things of the church and they weren't born again and they weren't saved, they weren't regenerated. To be leading the church, we need men who are saved, right? It's always kind of a nice thing if the pastor's saved. Born again, has the Holy Spirit, submitted to the authority of Scripture, seeking the wisdom of God to lead the ministry. But yet we have these churches that are just big institutions, big businesses, being led by men who are unregenerated. They're not even saved. False believers. And we also see that he plants, lastly, false doctrine that deceives people. Satan has deceived millions of people. They're on their way to hell. They're tares. They're believing a lie because of Satan's false doctrine. You say, well, John, what do we do? In light of these parables, as believers, what should we do? Let me mention four things. Number one, stay awake. It's interesting, in verse 25, when did the enemy sow the tares among the wheat? When the guy was asleep, when he's sleeping. The Bible tells us that we should be sober, be vigilant. For our adversary, the devil, walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. When you go to sleep spiritually, then you're in danger. We're children of the day, not of the night. Let us watch and be awake and be sober. So we need to stay awake. Second thing we need to do is be discerning. Please, put on your discernment caps. Use the Bible as your guide. Is it true? Is it not true? Is it biblical? Is it not biblical? In 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 to 6, John says, believe not every spirit. But what does he say? Try the spirits, whether they be of God. For many false prophets are gone out. Many false Christs are gone out into the world. Now, if you don't know your Bible, you're not going to be discerning. You're not going to know truth from error. You're going to be deceived. You're going to be gullible. You need to know what the Bible teaches. Now, I'm not talking about being critical or censorious or fault-finding. And I'm not saying that we should go around sin-sniffing and flesh-finding. But you know what? In the church, this parable does not teach that we are to leave unbelief and false doctrine and unbelievers alone or heretics alone in the church and wait for the second coming for them to be separated. That's not what this is teaching. Some people read this and say, see, just leave them alone, let them just be, and Jesus will deal with them when he comes. Now, we are to exercise church discipline and discernment. That's not the teaching of this parable. We need to stay awake, we need to be discerning, and thirdly, we need to preach the word. I love that. Not just me as a pastor, but you too. Preach the word. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering. Notice this, and what? Doctrine. Why? Because Paul said, Timothy, the time will come when men will not endure sound doctrine. That time has come. The leaven has been planted. Last days apostasy. But after their own lust, they will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, tickling ears. And they will turn away their ears from the truth and be given unto fables. Tell me what I want to hear. Tell me what's palatable. They don't pick a church to go to based on what it believes. They pick a church to go to based on what they can get out of it, you know, what it's going to do for them. Preacher says, God wants you rich. Ah, man, that's my kind of church. I can dig that. God wants you driving a Rolls Royce. Amen, hallelujah. I'm with you, brother. That's not what the Bible says. Oh, but man, that just, my ears feel so good. When they leave church, their ears are all red. They've been tickled, you know. Isn't it wonderful? Not always what a man says either, but often what they don't say. They don't mention hell. They don't mention repentance. They don't tell people to be born again. They don't preach the cross. They say all these nice, flowery, lovely little things. Welcome to church. The sky is blue. The flowers are beautiful. The butterflies are butterflying. I don't even know how to preach that way. Have a nice day. Love one another, for God is love. How sad. There's no doctrine there. There's no truth there. Oh, sermonette for Christianettes. It's the leaven put into the meal. It's the Laodicean church of the last days. Lukewarm. Or the church that allowed Jezebel to spread her doctrine, seduce my servants. How sad. Nowhere does the Bible teach that we are going to moralize the world or even prior to the rapture, evangelize the world. Should we be busy preaching? Yes. Should we preach the gospel? Yes. But realize that evil men and seducers are going to wax worse and worse. And the last thing that I would say that we should do is examine our lives and try to determine, am I a weed or am I wheat? Have I been born again? Or am I a tear planted by the enemy? You may come to this church every Sunday, but if you have not been born again, you're not a child of God.
As we read, as we study our Bible, we understand what it means to be part of God's kingdom and His church. God's Word teaches and guides each believer as we discern and continue in the gospel, sharing with those who are lost and need Jesus and His truth. You know, if you'd like a copy of today's message titled Mysteries of the Kingdom, please give us a call, won't you, at 866-9-REVIVAL. That's 866-973-8482. Now, don't forget, you can access all of Pastor John's current teachings as well as archives of past broadcasts by visiting us online at our website, revival.tv. That's revival.tv. You know, to all of you, our radio listeners, we want to invite you to a very special episode coming up February 24th. It's Revival Radio as we sit down with Pastor John Miller for an informal yet informative time of Q&A, questions and answers with Pastor John. Please remember, if you'd like Pastor John to answer your questions on a future broadcast, you can email them to radio@revival.tv. That's radio@revival.tv. Once again, that's 1 week from today, February 24th, that Friday, a very special edition of Q&A with Pastor John. We would love for you to worship with us the next time you're in our area. Our Sunday service times are at 8 a.m., 9:45, 11:30, or 6 p.m. We also have a midweek service on Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. The church is located at 29220 Scott Road in Menifee, California, zip code 92584. And if you can't join us in person, be sure to join us online at revival.tv. That's revival.tv. By the way, the website is a great way to get all of Pastor John's current teachings as well as access to past broadcasts. Again, our website address is revival.tv. Everyone, thank you so much for joining us today, and we hope that you can join us next time. And until then, may each of us continue to preach the word, be ready in season, and be watchful in all things, fulfilling the ministry of God's kingdom. God bless.